Hey friends,
welcome back to Scripture Adventures, where we seek the wisdom of God like silver and search for it like hidden treasure. Have you ever heard the saying, cleaning with children in the house is like brushing your teeth while eating Oreos? You're working hard to make things clean, but the mess just keeps coming back. You pick up one room and turn around to find another disaster waiting for you. And even if you don't have kids, you get it, right? Because brushing your teeth while eating Oreos? That's a pretty good picture of what it feels like to try and live for God while still holding on to the world. We say we want a clean heart, but we keep grabbing handfuls of spiritual Oreos, things that feed our flesh, distract our minds, and leave crumbs of compromise everywhere. And no matter how much we scrub, rinse, or start over, we end up wondering why we still feel stuck, tired, and spiritually messy. So today, we're diving into what God's Word says about living with our mind set above the mess, not pretending it's not there, but learning to see it through His perspective. I recently started Jennifer Rothschild's Heaven Bible Study, and I have to tell you, it is really good. If you haven't walked through it, I encourage you to do so. Some of what I'm sharing today comes from how the Spirit spoke to me after week one of that study. And to help guide our teaching today, I'm also using the MacArthur Study Bible. Let's start by looking at Colossians 3:2, which says, "Set your minds on things above, not on the things that are on earth." The commentary explains that "set your mind" can also be translated "think" or "have this inner disposition." It went on to add, "As a compass points north, the believer's entire disposition should point toward heaven. Heavenly thoughts can only come from understanding heavenly realities through Scripture." You see, you can't keep your eyes on heaven if your heart is still attached to earth. This verse isn't saying to ignore your life or your real problems. It's reminding us not to anchor our hope in them. You see, we anchor our hope on our true north, heaven, and the promises of God. When we live fixated on people's opinions, our status, or what's happening around us, we lose sight of what God is doing in us. I spent a good portion of my life worrying about what people thought or expected from me. I'd twist myself into knots trying to make everyone happy, hoping that if I did enough or said it just right, I'd finally measure up to some invisible standard. But over time, as I continued to sit under the teaching of the gospel, I realized that setting my mind on things above doesn't mean I won't face pushback, rejection, heartache, or even struggle. It means that I can face them with a heavenly perspective. That perspective equips me to battle from a place of victory instead of defeat. Because when my focus is on the eternal, the temporary loses its power to define me. Setting our minds on things above doesn't mean becoming naive or passive. It means living with a perspective that stretches all the way into eternity. Look at what Romans 12:2 says. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect." Transformation begins when we stop trying to fit in with what's fading and start letting God reshape what's eternal. You can't renew your mind while still feeding your old nature, just like you can't keep the floors clean if you're still walking through the mud, and you can't live in peace if you keep returning to what causes chaos. Every sin nature that I've ever gone to battle with in my life has only been overcome when I finally let go of the things that tempted me or led me in to those old patterns. And now I'm not perfect. There are still things I wrestle with daily. But I've learned that every time I chase what the world says is good or pleasing, it leads to heartache. Right now, I'm living in a season of battling health issues that often leave me feeling defeated. And how I respond to that feeling matters. Because if I let it, it can steal my peace. And sister, let me be transparent with you. It has been stealing my peace more than I care to admit. I'm constantly at war with that little voice in my head, the one that says, it's not fair. Or, if we're going to be sick and nothing's helping, let's just enjoy life to the fullest. Hand me the bag of Oreos. But that's not spiritually healthy, and it's not what God wants for us. When I stay focused on frustration, comparison, or self-pity, it only keeps me stuck. It doesn't help me fight from a place of victory. But when I choose to cling to the hope of what's to come, my heavenly body, while still caring for the one I have now, something shifts. Each act of surrender strengthens me to run my race fully, to finish well, and one day hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." When I allow God to renew my mind, when I stop trying to clean up while still holding on to the Oreos, I find peace. I start living from a place of empowerment and wholeness instead of exhaustion and emptiness. The commentary for "do not be conformed" really convicted me. It says, "Conformed refers to assuming an outward expression that does not reflect what is really inside, a kind of masquerade or act." Sister, Romans 12:2 isn't calling us to perform in a masquerade. It's calling us to prove that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. All right, let's look at our final scripture for today. 1 John 2:15 through 17. It says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever." Let me start by sharing what the commentary explains. He said, although John often repeats the importance of love and that God is love, he also reveals that God hates a certain type of love, love of the world. In this set of texts, John expresses a particular form of the fourth test. The commentary says it's the test of love. And he goes on to say, positively, the Christian loves God and fellow Christians. Negatively, an absence of love for the world must habitually characterize the love life of those to be considered generally born again. And lastly, it shared, love here signifies affection and devotion. God, not the world, must have the first place in the Christian's life. Oh, the more you love God, the less you crave what can't last. This verse isn't about having a hate toward the world. It's about not letting it own your heart. The world offers short-term satisfaction, but God offers eternal fulfillment. And when we love Him first, everything else finds its proper place. It's easy to become lovers of the world. God is giving us so many good things to enjoy, but our selfish desires and the enemy's lies twist those things into distractions. Loving God means learning to hate whatever contradicts His word and His promises. That can be hard for us as earth dwellers, still brushing elbows with each other. So how do we live in love and still hate what God hates? We do it by remembering this. The one who does the will of God lives forever. And the will of God is to reject lust, to reject pride, and to resist self-gratification, the very things the world thrives on. When God has first place in our hearts, everything else begins to fall into alignment. So as we close today, here's the truth. Life will still be messy and challenges will still come, but God hasn't left us to figure it out on our own. Through His Spirit, He renews our minds, redirects our hearts, and reshapes our desires, teaching us to live from a place of victory, even in the middle of the struggle. Colossians reminded us to set our minds on things above. Romans taught us to be transformed by renewing our minds. And 1 John showed us to love God first above all that fades away. Each truth builds on the next. When we set our minds on heaven, our thoughts begin to transform. And when our hearts are renewed, our love shifts from temporary to the eternal. So today I want to encourage you, fight from a place of victory, cling to hope, and take each step forward in faith. God is equipping you, even in the messy middle, to walk fully in the freedom and power He's already won for you. Live loved and let your life be a testimony of the goodness of God. And take a moment today to sit and ask God, Lord, what's my Oreo? What am I holding on to that's keeping me from walking fully in your freedom? Give me strength to fight from a place of victory, even when life feels heavy. And lastly, thank you for your presence, your guidance, and your power to transform me from the inside out. Because friend, the real challenge isn't about perfection. It's about surrender, faith, and trusting God in the process. And for those of you who want to dig deeper into what it means to set your mind on heaven, I've shared a link to Jennifer's website in the show notes. You can check out her Heaven Bible study there. Until next time, keep seeking the wisdom of God like silver and searching for it like hidden treasure.